You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Overcoming, but overcoming by the Word. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I can see this is going to be exciting. Y'all are just about to run out the building. We are supposed to overcome in life. Doesn't mean everything's perfect. Doesn't mean everything goes just right. In fact, the fact is that we do have to fight. We overcome because we fight. You know, I think about the children of Israel crossing the Jordan River and going into the land of Canaan. All that land was there. The Bible says that God gave it to them. It was a land that flowed with milk and honey. Jericho, Ai, all those cities were theirs. But there were people sitting on their cities. And so although it was given to them, they had to fight, they had to stand, they had to believe to experience what God had promised them. And I believe life's that way. God gives us peace, but you know, you've got to make a stand on it. He gives us eternal life, but you've got to call. And in life, as a Christian, you can't just lay down and just let things happen without making a stand and coming against those things that are trying to rob the blessing of God from you, the peace of God, the good marriage from you. You need to fight for your marriage. You need to fight for your children. You need to fight for your health. Hello. And so when we talk about this, about being overcomers, in which this is what the Scripture says, there's something that goes with it. There's instruction that goes with it. This is a manual. You know, God doesn't just make statements here. He's given us instruction here. This is a manual for living. Now, the manual itself won't do it for you, but it tells you what to do. The map doesn't get you to a city, but it tells you how to get to a city. The menu doesn't order the food for you, but it tells you how to order the food. The mirror doesn't get the dirt off your face and fix your hair, but it tells you where your hair is messed up and where the dirt is. So, this message is being brought to you by the letter M. So the Bible, in that sense, is the map, the menu, the manual, and the mirror of life. That's what it is. And so when we look into it, we ought to look into it, not just to hear a good story or, you know, we come to church and we're Christians and that's what we do and I did my duty, I went to church. No, we come here to learn. We come here to find out how to live. How to have a better life, better marriage, be a better witness. Amen. To shine our light and so on and so forth. So with that in mind, John 16, verse 33, real familiar scripture. Many of you know this, but let's follow along here. Jesus speaking, he said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace." Man, I could have camp meeting on just that part of the verse. You know, why in the world do we have the Bible? Why did Jesus say what he said? Well, he said here that he said it so that we would have peace. So you're not going to have peace until you know what Jesus said.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen. Hallelujah.
"These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." So I have peace in Jesus through the word that he spoke to me. That as I know more about him and find more out more about him and study more about what he said to me, then I can have peace in him. I'm not going to have peace until I know what he said to me, because he said what he said so that I would have peace.
Yeah. That's right.
Now, if I know everything the world has to say, that's not going to bring peace. Oh, come on, man. You listen to the news today, you're not going to get a lot of peace listening to the news. No, those words bring something, but it's not peace. It brings frustration and fear, turmoil, all those anxiety, all that. Well, let's turn that around. Let's go to God and find out what he has to say. Because what he has to say brings me peace.
Amen.
I love that. And not only does it, just kind of a side benefit, not only does it have that, you know, that attribute or a characteristic, it just seems like God's word just gives me peace. No, that actually was why he said it. I don't know if I'm getting that across. You know, we say, well, we can get a little peace from God. Well, no, he actually gave us his word so we would have peace.
Right.
That's just not something that comes from it. That's the reason he said it. I mean, when Jesus said, "I said this for this reason," oh, hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
"These things I have spoken to you, that," this is the purpose, the reason that I spoke these things to you, "that in me you might have peace." Hallelujah. You don't have peace in the world, you have peace in God. And you can go, He's with you everywhere you go. Jesus said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth." That's why a lot of people don't fly, because they don't think he's up high. He said, just waking you up out here. Okay. "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth." When you get there, God got there, if you're a Christian, because he lives in you. He walks in you. He moves in you. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, God's property. We belong to him. And he's in me now. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That's a great promise. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He's in me. So I got peace in me in Jesus. These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace in the world. You will have tribulation. Hadn't figured that out yet. You don't get out much. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Wow. Isn't that neat that Jesus is always cheering us up? He's always encouraging us. No matter how bad it's getting or how bad it looks, there is reason to rejoice. There are reasons we can cheer up. You know, Renee Garner did a ladies' meeting in our church a few years ago, and I love the example she gave. Living down in Corpus Christi, it was real hot one summer, and she was just torturously hot, just as hot as it was cold and windy yesterday. It was just the opposite of hot in Corpus Christi, middle of summer. And it was just burning, and she got to thinking how hot it was, and she got excited thinking this is about as hot as it's ever going to get for her. And she said, "I thought about just baking a cake and calling my friends and say, 'Hey, come on over. I'm throwing a party. This is my thank God I'm not going to hell day.'" There's always something to rejoice about. Be of good cheer. Hallelujah. We're going to heaven. Hallelujah. We got life. Amen. And get this. He goes on and says, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Maybe you don't feel like an overcomer. Maybe you don't feel like you're on the winning team. Maybe you don't feel like your life has purpose. Maybe you feel like you're spinning your wheels and it's just a drudgery from day to day, trying to get your mojo back, you know, trying to get back in the groove, you know, here, trying to, where am I? What am I doing? You know, well, listen, you get your eyes on God. Amen. He's overcome the world. Amen. You say, well, what does that mean? What does that help me? Well, because he overcame, you can overcome. Because he took care of it. That means something. It's not like somebody saying, "Oh, I see you're going through a trial there. Well, don't worry about it. I went through it and I passed it." Why does that help me? I'm going through it. You're not. "Oh, I went through that same test and I'm okay." Well, maybe you might get a little comfort that it's possible to make it because somebody else made it. And maybe that person is of the caliber that if he made it, surely you can. But that's not what Jesus is saying. Are you out there?
Yes.
What he's saying is, I've overcome, and that means something. Yeah. Since I overcome, you can overcome.
That's right. Yeah.
Because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
Yeah.
Philippians 4:13 tells us that. And also John 14, verse 12 says, Jesus said it. He said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and even greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Then whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Wow, that's good news. That means if Jesus overcame, I can overcome. In fact, actually, he overcame for me. And we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Romans 8:37 tells us. That's interesting. I'm more than a conqueror. Jesus conquered, but I'm more than a conqueror. How's that? Because I benefit from what he did. I don't even have to do what he did. I just benefit from what he did. You've heard that story about those, you know, heavyweight boxers and 220 pounds beating it out in the ring for $30 million a piece, whatever, you know, and the one comes out victorious and he gets that $30 million check, 220 pound man, just steel, just muscle, you know, he's fought, he's beat, he's a conqueror. He gets home and opens the door and his 5-foot-2, 110-pound wife says, "Give me that check." She's more than a conqueror. He conquered, but she's more than a conqueror. So that's kind of the way it is with us. Jesus is saying, don't worry about it. I already overcome the world. Well, if he overcame, we can overcome because we win in him. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Hallelujah. And the worst he do, we'll do. Hallelujah. That's good news. Amen. Amen. So that's what he's saying here. This word overcome just means to subdue and conquer, prevail over, to get the victory. You know, you need to be getting the victory in life. You need to be conquering in life. I'm not talking about just being a better person. I'm talking about conquering your marriage, having a good marriage, and being a witness, and being a light, and having peace, and having joy, and having victory. You know, we're living in a very depressing time in the natural. But for the church, we ought to be rising up. We ought to be encouraged. We ought to be, where sin abounds, as grace does much more abound. Hallelujah. We've got reason to be encouraged and rejoice. Jesus was always saying, cheer up, you know, be of good courage. And I mean, they let a man down through the roof sick of the palsy. He said, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. And then he healed the man and he took up his bed and walked. Hallelujah. Whew, glory. So it says here that he's overcome the world. That's good. He has prevailed against it. He has gotten the victory over. Did you know that God wants you to get the victory over the world? He doesn't want the world to get the victory over you. If you feel like you're trapped, you're in a box, they're spinning your wheels, and you just can't get out, and there's nothing you can do, that's a lie. You can do something. You can believe God. You can trust God. You can pray. You can seek the Lord. Amen? You can put your faith in God. We sang the song, My Hope's in You. Put your hope in God. Hallelujah. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew, the 4th chapter. And let's just examine some things that Jesus did in the time of testing, the time of trouble, the time of temptation. Because that's what it's going to boil down to. What do we do in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the trouble? What do we do in troubled times? We're living in troubled times, but we don't have to be troubled with it. There's darkness covering the earth, but we don't have to be dark with it. We can arise and shine, for our light has come. Amen. The glory of the Lord is upon us. We're Christians. We're believers. We have help the world doesn't have. We have hope they don't have. We have the answer they're looking for, praise God. This is our time to shine. I love it. This is our time to provide the ultimate eternal stimulus bailout package from heaven, where there are limitless finances. God is not going to have to borrow from another God to bail us out. Hallelujah. What do you do? How are we going to make it? We're going to trust God. We're going to trust God like we always have, and He's always going to do what He's always done. Amen? He's going to come through like He always has. This is an interesting passage of Scripture. In the 4th chapter of Matthew, it's the time of temptation where Jesus was tempted by the devil. The 4th chapter, first verse says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Temptation comes from the devil, not from God. When a man is tempted, let him not say he's tempted of God. James 1:13, for when a man is tempted, let him not say he's tempted of God, for God tempteth no man. Amen? Okay. So who tempts? Well, obviously it says he went in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. See, God's not for you and against you. God's not slapping you and patting you on the back. God's not making you sick and healing you. Amen? He's good. He's not bad. So it says here, then Jesus was led up of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. This is supernatural. Are you kidding? Ken Riggs couldn't make it one day. That's another story altogether. But anyway, love you, Ken. Okay. But if you have any leftovers in your house and you need to get rid of them, invite Ken over. Okay. Everybody's got their gift. Okay. Third verse. Now when the tempter came, everybody say the tempter. That's interesting. That's his title. That's the devil's title. That's not God's title. God's the Lord that healeth thee. You know, God's El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. He's not the tempter. The tempter, we know who the tempter is. That's the devil. Your problem is not God. Your problem is the devil. Amen. Your answer is God. Your hope's in God. Your help's in God. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God. I love this. See, this is the way the devil operates. He always questions everything. There's no absolutes with the devil. Everything's relative. You know, you don't really believe that. Do you really believe that? You know, that's not really true. If. That's the way the world is that we live in. Everything's just real relative, no absolutes, nothing concrete. And if we're not careful, we get the same way about God. We'll start wondering about God. Well, you know, who knows what the Lord will do? And well, we know exactly what the Lord will do. The Lord will always do what He says. It's you we're concerned about. We don't know what you're going to do next. Or me. But God, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Lord God. He changes not. He'll always do what He always has done. He's the most predictable being in the universe because He always tells the truth and He never lies. Amen? So He's questioning Jesus here, the devil is. Just like he'll question you and question God's word, you'll pray about something, the devil will come and say, you really believe that? Do you really think that if you pray that, God's going to really do that? I mean, that's His biggest power is deception and twisting of Scriptures. And He deceives us, see, getting us to question God and question our position with God, and question our prayers that we pray and so on and so forth. And He said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. I think it's fascinating. Jesus immediately quoted a Scripture back at the devil. You know, there's probably a lot more into that in the sense that God doesn't really bring bread out of stone. He brings bread out of seeds and bread. Hello? I mean, the miracles in the Bible are not fantasy. They're not like fairy tales. I mean, mushrooms don't turn into pumpkins don't turn into coaches and rats don't turn into coachmen. And you know, those are fairy tales. What God's kind of miracles are like little bread becomes much bread, little fish becomes much fish. You know, He doesn't do things that don't have His mark on it. And so everything Jesus did, He healed people, restored bodies. He didn't give somebody five legs. He just healed two legs that were crippled and healed eyes that couldn't see because eyes were made to see and legs were made to walk. And God always multiplies bread from bread and fish from fish. And so Jesus' miracles and multiplication were just that. They were just multiplication. And all wine comes from water. Out of the heavens, He just sped up the process, as it were. Miracles are happening all the time. They're just so slow, we don't catch it. Yeah. Yeah. That went real big. I didn't think you... I mean, you eat a piece of bread and you don't see the miracle. But if I had some seed in my hand and all of a sudden it became a loaf of bread, you'd go, whoa! Because it happened so fast. But God's doing it all the time. I'm walking around on my legs. That's no big miracle. But see, if I'd been crippled all my life and all of a sudden God touched me and I stood up, man, we'd be having us a Holy Ghost meeting right now. But it's kind of sad we miss that miracle that's going around all the time. Legs walking is a miracle. Eyes seeing is a miracle. So God did things real close up, real fast sometimes and shocked us. Wow, yeah, that's God. Yeah, it's always been God. To be able to see is God. Okay, is that helping anybody? I mean, it's just kind of a side note, rabbit trail, but it had some meat on it. I want to go after it. So He actually tried to get him to do something that God doesn't really do. He doesn't turn stones into bread. Now, water comes out of the ground. He brought water out of the rock, but He didn't bring bread out of the rock. Are you with me? So He said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. And He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I don't have to break pattern or break rules here, you know, to get my needs met. If I just trust God, He'll take care of me. If I believe Him, He'll take care of me. I don't have to violate the Scripture to get my bills paid. I don't have to rob a bank. If I just trust God, He'll make sure I'm taken care of. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I don't have to sin to make it. Hello. So, Jesus immediately came against the devil with the word. That's interesting. Jesus is the Son of God. How many of you know that? He could have taken the devil by his pointy tail. Well, you know, He's got one. That's all the pictures. He's red, pointy tail, horns, and all that stuff, you know. The Bible doesn't say that. We don't know what He looked like. He was beautiful in heaven before He fell. But Jesus could have picked Him up and slung Him around His head and thrown Him across the universe. But, you know, that's not really something we could have followed or could have done. And really, that's not really the most powerful force in the universe. The most powerful force in the universe for all you Star Wars fans, the Force be with you. The most powerful force is God's Word. It's how God made everything. And it's how your prayers get answered. It's how you change circumstance and situation when you pray God's Word. And when you stand on God's Word, when you're tempted, it'll overcome the temptation. When you're being tested and you're being tried, and I mean the darkness is rolling in, and you stand on God's Word will overcome the darkness, and the entrance of His Word will bring light. And light will dissipate the darkness. The most powerful thing in the universe is God's Word. He upholds all things by the Word of His power, the Bible tells us in Hebrews, the first chapter. Hallelujah. The Word of God is quick, alive, and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that. So, He just spoke the word back to him. He says, a man should not live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into a holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if. See, you can doubt and do without. Or you can believe and receive. Don't live in doubt and confusion. Live in faith and confidence. How do you get faith and confidence? God's word. You don't get faith and confidence in your own opinion, your own ideas, your own concept, your own philosophy, but you can get faith and confidence in God's Word. If what you're saying and doing and how you're living and what you're believing is based on what God says, hallelujah, you got faith and you got confidence. Throw out the ifs. He said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Now see, he was taking a scripture now and twisting it. Just because God said He'd take care of you doesn't mean that you tempt God. Get up on top of the roof and just jump off and say, Lord, take care of me. Well, while you're in the emergency room and are putting those casts on your legs, you'll probably hear God saying, I told you not to jump off the roof. I mean, while you're just worshiping the God and praying in tongues and you run that red light and the policeman pulls you over and gives you a ticket and you come home crying saying, I can't believe I got a ticket. I was praying in tongues. I was worshiping the Lord. I had God on my mind and I still got the ticket. Yeah, you know why? Because you run the red light. And you might be saying, God, what are you trying to show me? Don't run the red light. I mean, we make it too spiritual. Of course, He's going to take care of us, but not going. He's not going to take care of us if we purposely tempt Him. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, He tempted Him with this and twisted the Scripture. Jesus said in the seventh verse, He said, it is written again. It is written again. Everybody say, it is written again. I love this. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. And that would have been tempting God. That would just been testing, trying God. See, that'd be wrong. Again the devil took him, eighth verse, up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things, now he's getting down to it, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. That's all the devil wants. He just wants you to worship him and not God. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Now this is fascinating. It's real simple. I know we've heard it over and over. But Jesus handled the problems of life by quoting the Word of God. He handled the temptations of life, the tests of life that came, the challenges of life that came, by saying, it is written. Hallelujah. So Jesus overcame by the Word. Now you may know what Fox News says, CNN says. You may know what the statistics are today in this area or that area. You may know what the world says or read the headlines on the newspaper. You may know all that, but do you know what God says? Because we're not going to overcome by all those things. And we're in the world, I understand it, but we're not of the world. We're aware of what's going on. I understand that. But see, we can pray and we can believe and we can trust God when the world can't do that. But our eyes and our focus need to be on what God says, because this is why He spoke these things to us, that in Him we might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. How did He do that? The Word. Wow. That's good stuff. So whatever it is going on, you know, we talked about Jamie. You know, we prayed for Jamie, and the doctors had a report. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for hospitals. Listen, we are four doctors in the hospitals of medicine. I'm always amazed at churches maybe that are extreme in one area or another, that say extreme maybe in healing in the sense that they don't believe in medicines, they don't believe in doctors, they don't believe in anything but supernatural healing. And then you have a church over here that doesn't believe in healing, that God wants you sick and God doesn't heal, and they're the ones that believe in the doctors and the medicine. So over here, the world's trying to help and trying to do the same thing that God's trying to do, trying to help people, and we won't accept it. And then on the other side, where we don't believe that God wants us healed, we're spending all of our money and doing everything we can to get out of the will of God. If you believe in healing, you've got to believe in doctors and medicine. If you don't believe in healing, you ought to be against doctors and medicine. Or you're terribly inconsistent. If you don't believe God wants to prosper, you ought to quit that job. Because you're sure working hard to get money if you don't believe God wants to bless you. But if you do believe in prosperity, you ought to go to work. Hello, that's another subject altogether. You out there, you going home? Okay. Where was I? Oh, Matthew 4, yeah. Matthew 4. We have to find out what God says, just like Jamie, I was talking about Jamie. You know, I had a report from the doctors, and we understand that. They're doing the best they can. But you know what? We got another report. Yeah. We got another report that says, by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. We got another report that says, lay hands on sick and they shall recover. We got another report that says, pray you one for another that you may be healed. We have another report that says, I am the Lord and healeth thee, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. See, we got that. We understand that report, but we overcome not by the report of the world. We overcome by the report of God. We overcome by the Word. That's how you overcome challenges in life. How do you overcome depression? How do you overcome this feeling of just worthlessness? Well, you find your worth in God. You find out that you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, and old things are passed away and all things have become new. Hallelujah. You find out you've been born again. You got a new life. You got a new daddy. You got a future and a hope and a heaven. Hallelujah. You start going over what the Word says. Now, turn to Revelation 3. Is this helping anybody?
Yes.
Glory. When y'all get it, I'll let you go. I'll know when you get it because you just be excited, jumping up and down, shouting, you know. Now, this is interesting. Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 talk about the seven churches of Asia. You know, and the book of Revelation starts out talking to the churches, and then it goes on and talks about the world. And the first four chapters, it's talking about, the first three chapters talking about the church, and the fourth chapter and the fifth chapters, John's taken up into heaven. You know, it's indicative of the rapture of the church. I believe the church is going up before the tribulation hits. I believe the Bible's real plain along those lines. That God always takes His out before. He's going to judge the world, there's no question. But we as ambassadors, just like any country would take their ambassadors out of the country that they make war with, God will take us, the ambassadors of Christ, out of the world before He judges the world. That's going to happen. There's going to be a door open and a voice in heaven saying, come up hither, and we're going to fly and wave goodbye. Okay. And for 7 years, we're going to be trying to figure out how to ride those flying horses. That's what we're going to come back on. Revelation 19, we'll all come back. Ed, that's going to be good, a flying horse. Man, you know, it's one thing to ride horses, but a flying horse, hallelujah, glory. So the second and third chapters, John's addressing the churches of Asia, or Asia Minor, which is present-day Turkey. It's what that present-day, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, and Philadelphia, and Laodicea, and Sardis, all those seven churches, he addresses them, and each one of them, Jesus has a message for each one, and he says to each one of them, he says, to him that overcometh, and he gives them a promise. That word overcome, same word where he says, I've overcome the world. Nikao is the Greek word. It just means to subdue, conquer, and prevail. And then in the third chapter, I want to skip way over to that because I do have a point. There is a method to my madness here. In the third chapter, notice the 21st verse, Jesus speaking, he says, to him that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. Now let's connect the dots. Let's put it all together here. How do we overcome? Right. Let me get a little broader here. That's specific and that's good. That's the ultimate answer we're going to get to. Y'all are way ahead of me. We overcome as He overcame. Revelation 3:21, just read it. To him that overcometh, as I also overcame. How many of you want to be like Jesus? Okay, all right. You want to love like Jesus? You want to live holy like Jesus? We should. We should want that. But you know what we also ought to, you know what we should also do? We should overcome like He overcame. We shouldn't go through life being overcome by every wind and every tragedy, every crisis. We should rise up and overcome. How are we going to do that? Even as He also overcame. How did He overcome? Overcome. How did He do it? It is written. It is written. It is written. We overcome by the word that He gave us. So do you know what God says? That's the good question. That's the question. And this is a series we want to start teaching. I'll take a subject. How do we overcome spiritual death? How do we overcome sickness? How do we overcome depression? There's a fight going on. These are things we face. It doesn't mean that you're never going to be hit. The fact is you are going to be hit with that. We live in a world where crisis happens and tragedy happens. I know that. There's pain in this life. This is a fallen world. But I have hope. Hallelujah. I got good news for you. You can take God's word. You can fight. You can stand. You can win. You can plow through. This will pass. And when the storm's over and the wind quits blowing, your house will still be standing. You may have to fight, yes. You may have to dig in. Absolutely, you will have to do that. You may have to get us to believe with you, but we can do that. We can agree together, and with the Word of God, we can overcome. We can overcome just like He overcame. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Overcome by the Word. 1 John 5. Goodness, do I want to go that far? I'm not going to get through this, obviously. 1 John, I tell you, 1 John 2, and we'll go to 5, and I will let you out pretty quick here. This will change your life. This is good stuff. I'm so glad you came. Y'all must be really messed up and need this message. You know what the truth? The truth is, you know, when I really get on a subject, I'm passionate about a subject, I'm fired up about something, it's because I'm dealing with it. Really. Now, every time I teach on sin, don't think I'm doing that sin. So, but when it comes to, you know, when it comes to getting in faith, and you know, I have to deal with the same things you deal. I deal with depression. I deal with not feeling like I'm doing any good, spinning my wheels, and what's it all about, Alfie? You know that old song. What am I doing here? You know all that. Heck, those things come to everybody. Come on, yeah, fight that with a word. Amen. We are the people of God. We are making a difference. We are the last hope this world has. Christ in us. Amen? We need to fight the fight. We need to stand. We need to fight. We need to win. The world needs to see us winning. The world doesn't even know they can win. They don't even know there's hope. And when you share your testimony and you share what happened, you know what happens there? That's a good scripture right there, Revelation 12:11. They overcame. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. God wants us to overcome by the word of our testimony. Hallelujah. The world needs it. David, you know, David went down in East Texas term, he whooped Goliath. He whooped him like a red-headed stepchild. Now, God bless you if you got redhead. He beat him like a drum. And I'm not against drums. Four drums too, you know. But you know what happened when he did that? All of a sudden, Israel got all excited. They'd been shaking in their boots for 40 days, the Bible says, and nights they were running from Goliath and shaking up there on the hill, wouldn't come down to fight. And boy, when David got the victory, all of a sudden, Israel, all of a sudden, they got faith. Hey, we can do this. See, that's what the world's looking for, somebody that can make it. Somebody can have a good marriage. Somebody that can serve God in troubled times. Somebody that can get healed when the doctor says, no way you can't. Don't lose hope. This thing's bigger than us. Amen. It's bigger than me. People are looking at me and you, and we make an impact on their lives. Okay. So 1 John 2. This is interesting. John's writing to three groups of people here. He says in the 1 John 2, verse 12, he says, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men," see, children, fathers, young men, "because you have overcome the wicked one." I write unto you, he starts over again, "little children, because you've known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one." Amen. Now we got insight. Why did they overcome? Because the word of God lived in them. They overcame by the word. Woohoo! So this word causes me to win. This is God's given me to overcome the world. He's given me his word so I can make it. Hallelujah. Yes. One word from God can change your life forever. Did you not hear what they said? Yeah, but do you know what God said? Oh, you won't believe the report I just got. Well, have you heard the report of the Lord? This is going to cause us to overcome. 1 John 5, I'll quit. This is it. Final, ultimate. 1 John 5. Man, this is good stuff. First verse. "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." You believe that? Amen. I love that. Don't make it complicated. It's real simple. Do you believe Jesus is the Christ? Amen. You're born of God. Wow. I'm born from heaven. I got a new daddy. "Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begat also loves him who is begot." In other words, if I love God, I love his children. That's what he's saying. "Everyone who loves him who begot loves him who is begotten." Say that 10 times real fast. "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments." Wow. "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome or hard." Oh, it's hard to serve God. No, I'll tell you what, it's hard to serve the world. I remember when I was lost. I remember that lifestyle. I remember those drugs, partying, jails. Oh, that was a lovely time in my life. Are you kidding? That was just lovely. That was so easy. And now I have it so hard. Are you kidding? This is the best life I ever had. Best life I'm ever going to have. Oh, but you know, I have to make a stand. People make fun of you once. Well, that's fine. They did that back then. You know, I always say this, if you're afraid people are going to think you're crazy, they think you're crazy anyway. No matter what you do, they're going to think that. I mean, why not just, if you're going to be a nut for Jesus. Be done with it. So anyway, it's not that hard. Just serve God. If you'll serve God and do the right thing, he'll help you. He'll strengthen you, and it's not that hard. Quit saying that. It actually gets easier and easier. But he goes on and says this. Fourth verse says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." Are you born of God?
Yes.
Well, you are born to overcome the world. Isn't that what it says? "Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." Our trust, our faith in God's word. What we believe according to God's word is how we overcome. It's our victory. "Who is he that overcomes the world?" Fifth verse. "But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." I am a world overcomer. That's why Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world," because he made me an overcomer. He made me a world overcomer. You know something else here, and that's interesting when you think about it, fourth verse, "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world." Now I know I'm born of God and overcome the world, but anything born of God overcomes the world. Like if you're believing something or a dream or a plan or a vision or something that comes from God, it's going to overcome the world, because whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And so if you're standing on the word concerning your life, then your destiny, your future, your hope in God's word, being born from God, will overcome the world. Because whatever is born of God overcomes the world. God's word always overcomes the world. You know, Romans 12:21 says this. Now, I slipped that in. I didn't make you turn to it. I told you this is the last scripture. That was it. But I can quote. I have liberty to quote whatever I want to. Romans 12:21 says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." And, of course, we're talking about the good work. Overcome with a good word. See, evil will overcome you. God's word will cause you to be an overcomer. Basically, he's saying, don't be overcome, be an overcomer. So, we overcome how? By the word, by God's word. So, find out what God says. I don't know what you're facing. It's different with everybody. We all have our battles and trials and so on. But I want to give you hope this morning and let you know God loves you and He's for you and He's not against you. He really wants you to win. And He gave you this so you could win. Now, you have to go dig into it and find out what He says. But once you find out what He says and you start standing on it, you quote that scripture back to that devil. And you make that devil flee and you say, it is written right here. And I believe what God said and it will be the way God said it will be.